The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Pedro Gomez jumps back on. We usually do not have guests every 5 days, but because the Diamondbacks did what they did yesterday on the field, I have a story about them off the field that I just find to be stunning. Stunning that I have to bring to you here momentarily. So I have Pedro with us. Donald Trump is in the sports news cycle today because he wanted to talk to the Big Ten and didn't reach out to the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 is just getting destroyed nationally, so we have to get into that. The Diamondbacks fire sale, though, really is the big story of the day here in the Valley. Thank goodness we have something on the field in 12 days when the NFL gets started with your Cardinals. We are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. Jeff Meshey, their CEO, their president, good man, good dude, big sports guy around town. When we talked about Sports 360 and Desert Financial Credit Union coming together, he said, you know, the community side of it's very important to us. That's what we're all about. And I said, I get it. I see you. I actually go to your credit union over in Gilbert. I've walked in. I've done business there. I've sat with people on business side things. I've gone through the drive-through. It makes perfect sense. Desert Financial Credit Union, there's one near you across the valley. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. Here now is Eric Sorensen, man of many talents. My spies tell me you're getting better at golf. Spies are saying it may be time to take you out and you can kick my tail. I'm excited about that. On the baseball side of things, your Diamondbacks. What'd you make out of yesterday?
I'm not a good golfer. I'm not even a below average golfer. I hit a couple.
Heard you
good
broke
shots.
90. Heard you broke 90.
Yeah, on an executive course. So
heard
let's
you broke
not,
90. Doesn't
let's
matter.
Not, let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story, right?
That's
the
it.
Diamondbacks. Look in the mirror. You are what you are. You're double digit games behind the Dodgers. It's time to start over. And I think yesterday was pretty indicative of what we were all expecting. I would think, right?
I think so. Did you hear about the season ticket holders?
I did not, but I'd love to hear about the season ticket holders.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. So I started getting notes last night. Our first deposit on our 2021 season tickets was due today. They took out our season deposit today, the day they trade Archie, the day they trade Robbie. And it kind of picked up more and more steam. And by this morning, it was a bunch of really pissed off people, I think, opened up their account and said, what? They took money out? How do you do that? How do you not, like, walk in and say, you know, we probably should push this back a couple days, or we might want to move this up a couple days, or there was no win for them yesterday. August 31, first deposit for 2021 season tickets. And it went over like an absolute lead balloon because they had a fire sale and didn't do anything for those season ticket holders. The business side of sports sometimes just stuns me.
It surprised me a little bit because the Diamondbacks have not had a lot of bad PR. They're pretty savvy when it comes to what they put out on their social, the decisions they make from the higher ups, things like that, especially with their fan base. I would think the Cardinals are one of the more engaging pro sports teams in this market when it comes to their fan base. You cannot say the same for the team that plays right down the road in downtown Phoenix, but the Diamondbacks are usually pretty good about that stuff. So that surprises me. That's bad timing. That's a poor decision because you're right. They just push that back like a week, maybe.
Well, but even a week later, you're going to have the, why do I want to put money down to watch a product where I don't know any of these guys? So we're going to hear about baby backs again, in my opinion. We're going to hear about rally backs. There's going to be boardrooms. There's going to be PR firms paid big bucks. And it'll be baby backs and rally backs. And when Madison gets healthy, is Madison going to want to be here on a team that gets their heads kicked in? Or if he's here next March, all it is really is an audition to be the trade deadline addition to the Yankees or some team that's in the playoff hunt.
I would guess the season ticket holder, though, would be smart enough to realize what not only the Diamondbacks, but most pro franchises are going through with the pandemic. I mean, it's not like the Diamondbacks are down there counting all their money right now and deciding where they're going to deposit it all. They're all losing money. So you would think that the fans would be like, okay, yeah, it was a bad season, but the bigger long-term picture is like these franchises, especially Major League Baseball, are losing millions and millions of dollars. So you would think.
You would think. I would disagree with that vehemently. I think we're in a place right now where pro sports is under siege for many, many reasons. And fans are just done with – fans are trying – there's like, what is it, 12 million still unemployed people from the pandemic. And when they see millionaires on television doing their things that are other than baseball-related or basketball-related or football-related, all well-intentioned, it's all fine. But I think the pushback on pro sports, to me has been pretty stunning. I know the other night the Lakers, so I saw the numbers. Lakers had 3 million viewers the other night against Portland, which by far and away was the Austin Peay football game, 500,000. Lakers, Portland, almost 3 million. Exact same time. Oh, people, it's college football. Well, yeah, it was just north of a high school football game. So let's tap the brakes on that.
Yeah, but it was Austin Peay in Central Arkansas. If you would have had Oregon playing Ohio State, let's run the numbers when it's like an actual even playing field.
But we didn't.
Of course. But for you to say that, I mean, most people didn't even know there was a college football game on Saturday.
But there's those that are saying that pro sports is as good as ever. I don't think it is, but it still matters. I think the last few months have taken some starch out of people, and this year's taken starch out of people. And pro sports, it's, hey, our season ticket renewal is in, and they just traded away half the roster. And I don't think there's much sympathy for ownership. I think there's going to be some owners, and I don't know if this is Ken, but there's got to be some owners that are going to look at this whole deal. And there's more factors at play. If China, the NBA is not being shown in China right now because of what's gone on, what Daryl Morey said, the GM of the Rockets last year, and what's going on with the president. If China goes away, there's going to be some of these NBA owners are going to say, I have to sell. There's going to be some owners in pro sports that are saying, I have to get out of this. This little play toy is not something I can just continue to do. I truly believe that. And so things like asking or taking deposits out of bank accounts on the day you trade away half your roster, or not half, five of your very, very good players. I shouldn't call Robbie Ray very good, but he was a name player. That to me is just not being sensitive to the situation. The other side of it is, I'm sure if Derek's with me, he'd say, well, what was our other choice? You know, if we do it before we trade away these guys, we're going to look disingenuous. If we do it a week from now, we're going to have people that are going to say, I'm not paying for this, right?
I would think so. And you would have to think, Brad, if you're the head household in a family of four and you're in the middle of a pandemic and you sit down with the family and you say, here's the reality. We could either renew our Diamondback season tickets or we could pay for the mortgage for the next 4 months. I mean, that's a pretty easy choice, especially considering when you go to a baseball game, it's not free. Because when you're there, you're going to spend more money. You're going to use the gas to get to and the time to get to and from the stadium. Why don't we just sit down and we can watch all the games on Fox Sports Arizona from the comfort of our living room and drink beers that we buy at Fry's for $6 a six pack?
No. All that is true. But even there's other sides of this that are a lot of inside baseball. Just the distribution of games is becoming more and more difficult with different streaming options and contracts and all that stuff. So I just think it's more difficult as a fan. The baseball side of it yesterday, sure, it makes sense, but it's how did we get here? How did we get to this point where a year ago, Kent did a great column this morning on Robbie Ray a year ago, they could have got a king's ransom for him. Now they ended up throwing $300,000 in on the deal to get him out of town. Like, how does that happen? You know, Archie, you go back on, I'm going to talk to Pedro about this. Archie and Trevor Bauer come in together. How does that look now in the history of the Diamondbacks? It doesn't look good at all. So what happened here? Why is it Torrey Lovello is probably the next to go if this team falls apart? If in the next 3 weeks this team quits, which could happen in this type of environment, we're not going anywhere, I got to get my moving van in order, and they could be a 5-20 team. Madison's not going to pitch. Maybe a few more starts, maybe. You know, not seeing Robbie Ray on the mound, I'm absolutely fine with that. I'm not going to have anxiety now watching him just go through. It was like Greg Olson all over again. It's just throw the freaking ball and don't change everything. Please go.
Unless Robbie Ray goes to Toronto and Toronto says, you know what? We've been watching all of your starts. And we think maybe if you just started a half a step to the left on the rubber, it would completely change everything within your delivery and within your motion. And by the end of the month, he's 3-0 with a 2.5 ERA and a 2-1 strikeout to walk ratio.
I see where you're going.
And the Diamondbacks are like, I'm glad we gave you $300,000 to take our former all-star pitcher and turn him back into a young left-handed starting all-star pitcher. Because that's not completely out of the realm of possibility.
No, I agree. But Starling Marte, you traded two of your better prospects.
Yep.
8 months ago. And now he had off the field stuff that happened with his wife. Not stuff, something major that happened with his wife. So, you know, who knows where his head was, and this may be the best thing for him personally. I don't know that.
He's a really good player. I mean, yeah. Andrew Chafin is a good, pretty reliable left-handed bullpen option.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that the Diamondbacks traded away are all pretty high upside guys. So.
But they didn't do what San Diego did.
No.
And so, you know, I look at that. Later in the show, so Donald Trump got in the middle of the Big Ten today. And this story is evolving while we're on the air. The Pac-12, Donald Trump did not get involved with. So this is really making the Pac-12 take a beating on social media today. But on the other side, Pedro Gomez will be with us. Sports360AZ.com. He's Eric Sorensen. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Pedro Gomez joins us from the Pedro Gomez Mobile. The day after the trade deadline, the day after the Diamondbacks turned the roster upside down. We spoke about this last week.
Yep.
There was no surprises of the guys they traded, or was there?
I guess not. You know, the Starling Marte one was a little surprising because he's been playing so well, but I think it gives you a real opening into their thoughts for the 2021 roster that they are going to pare down the money as much as possible. It also could be a strong indication that they know we're not good enough to compete right now. We're losing a lot of money this year. We're still going to probably lose money next year, even if the season starts on time, because there is a big concern among front office people throughout baseball that even if the pandemic does slow down, are people going to truly be comfortable going out into a big crowd yet? And so attendance, they expect it to be a huge drop off, even if the season does start on time, and that's across baseball. So, you know, it's just shocking in the sense that they're hitting reset again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I, in the Marte case, that's a deal they gave up two really good prospects in January. In January, Pedro, like 8 months later, two good prospects, bye-bye. And, oh, by the way, Robbie Ray, let's throw some cash in on top of it just to make sure we can get you north of the border. You know, I mean, the takeaways from yesterday were just like, Ken's on the phone. Ken to Derek. Get him out of here. Derek, over to Mike. Get him out of here and do whatever it takes.
Well, yeah, it's like the old movies, like sell.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's the stock market. Just sell. And that's what they've done. And if you are a Diamondback fan, I think you're in for some lean times right now. I know that Mike Hazen says the right things. We expect to compete again next year. Yeah. Things just aren't working out. Yeah, you can say that all you want, but the reality is you're looking at the Dodgers, who are going nowhere. You're looking at the Padres, who are absolutely ascending and making moves as though we don't just want to be second best to the Dodgers. We think we can overtake the Dodgers. That's the message that Padres are sending out. Even the Rockies made a couple of nice moves to add in Kevin Pillar and Michael Gibbons, the reliever. So, you know, you're looking at a division where I would say, Brad, that if you were making predictions for the 2021 season right now, I think we know who we'd be picking in fifth place.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the Robbie Ray hanging on to him way too long, that miscalculation, Pedro, a year ago, they could have got quite a bit back from him. Yeah. That falls at Hazen's feet, doesn't it? It has to fall at the GM's feet. Or is that ownership saying, oh, no, we got to hang on to him? What do you make out of that?
Even if the ownership is saying that, if you're the GM and you're in charge of baseball operations, you have to be able to convince ownership, no, this is the right thing to do. We need to do this now.
Yeah.
And that's that always falls at the feet of the GM, always. Ultimately, look, the big money contracts, things like that, the owner has to give his okay. We all know that. But if the baseball people say this is not the right deal to make, you would hope that ownership would say, okay, we're going to listen to our baseball people here. And I don't know that, Mike is a very nice guy. He's done some good things, but right now when you look at this roster and the roster he configured for this year, you'd have to say that he would not get a passing grade.
No, there's not a chance on it. Archie Bradley being traded wasn't a surprise. Is his legacy the fiery, off-the-field, big beard guy, or was it, boy, he was a really good closer? Because I think it's somewhere in between with him.
Yeah, I think he's going to fall into that Jose Valverde category of, he'll always be remembered fondly as a very good Diamondback. And there are players that fall into that category, no doubt about it. But I think he'll fall somewhere in there of, oh yeah, Bradley was good. He was good. He was a superstar. He was the best ever. None of those things will apply, but he certainly was a fan favorite. And it's okay to have fan favorites. It's okay to have personalities.
Yeah.
Because right now this club is bereft of any personality.
No, we talked about this last week. They're a blue dot on a blue wall. The chapter of Trevor Bauer and Archie Bradley coming in together. The chapter of Justin Upton coming in as this rising star. There seems to be something with this organization about let's really push these guys out there, marking them, and then they just crash and burn and it doesn't work out. Am I on to something? Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I overreacting on this?
Well, I mean, look, the Trevor Bauer, Archie Bradley coming in the same draft and everything, here's the part that really should sting to a degree. And of course, it's an inexact science, but the D-backs that year had the 3 and the, I want to say, 5th pick, the 3rd right. and the 5th.
Yep.
The players who were selected 7th and 8th that year were Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez. You could have had your double play combination of Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker, basically.
Oh.
A 12-year double play combination of all-stars playing right next to each other with personality, with flair, fan favorites. And, you know, you do swing and miss in the draft. There's no doubt. It's great to sit here in hindsight and say that. But the facts are that you had two of the first six picks, and chosen right after that were both Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor. You got to live with it.
And that was Dave Stewart, right? That wasn't KT, was it? Was it KT?
I believe it was KT. I believe it was 2011. Yeah. I'm sorry. I believe it was 2011.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it would have been KT then. The winners, okay? So just within the National League West, yeah, San Diego is – so what San Diego is doing, do you like how they've just – gone and just grab anything and everything, or did they swing too far to one side in your opinion?
No, I think they recognize the best team in the National League is the Dodgers. And if we can win 4 out of 7 games against that team, we could wind up in the World Series. How do we do that? Well, we need a game one type pitcher. who's out there that's available that could help us get to that point? Mike Clevinger. They went and got him. Here's the other thing. They've obviously added to themselves. They added Aaron Nola behind the plate. They've added bullpen help. They've done really, really good things. And when you have a top five farm system for five consecutive years, it's not just about who's being produced from that farm system, like a Fernando Tatis. Mm-hmm. It's also when you're in a position to make trades to try to get over the hump, now you've got the prospects to be able to do that. So it's not always just about who's coming up through the system. It's about what can they do at trade deadline time to help put us over the top. And that's where the Padres are right now. And honestly, if you're a San Diego Padres fan right now, you're excited for the next 5 years. Yeah. And there's no reason not to be excited about the window coming up for your franchise.
Okay, last question before I get you out of here. We know this about the Diamondbacks and managers. They turn them over quite a bit. Is Torrey the one at the end of this season? Is Mike the one at the end of the season? Can Ken really, with a straight face, look at everybody and say, yep, everybody's going to come back? Something's got to drop here. Somebody's got to pay for this.
I would say this about Torrey. I think Torrey is the right man for the person, the right person for the job. And I think that his demeanor is being taken advantage of by players in that clubhouse. They know there aren't any harsh penalties for not playing hard, for just not putting in the type of effort that needs to be put in. And that's because Torrey is a very decent human being. He's giving you respect as a man and saying, look, I know you know how to play this game. I know you know how to do this job. But conversely, I think there are players taking advantage of that. And that's unfortunate. And if Torrey does go, it truly won't be his fault. It'll be the fault of those players who are taking advantage of him.
But are you expecting something? I'm not saying Torrey specifically, but do you think it's just, look, Brad, they turn the roster upside down. They're going to press reset. They're going to go in the free agent market, and we're just going to go forward. Or you know this ownership.
Yeah. I suspect everyone will be back because it is such a bizarre season, an abbreviated season. I don't think you let someone go unless, look, I will say this. If in the last 3 weeks of the season, this club truly goes on its side and wins only three games and plays just horrible, lackadaisical ball, then yeah, probably there will be massive changes. Yeah. But aside from that, if they just finish out the season in a decent manner, I think everybody probably comes back because the circumstances surrounding 2020 are just so off the charts bizarre.
There's Pedro Gomez in the Pedromobile. Drive safe. Thanks for pulling over.
All right, Brad.
Take care. There's Pedro Gomez, and we're back with more after this timeout. So, Eric, what do we make out of Donald Trump getting into the news cycle today? Have you seen this story? It's been circulating over the last couple of hours, how he picked up the phone, got to Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, and said it would be great to have Big Ten football returning. It would be great for everyone, players, fans, country, on the one-yard line, exclamation point. Donald Trump. What do you make?
I don't know. I mean, what does it really matter? Like, is he the
is he the
gatekeeper for college football?
So clearly, he's going after states, right?
In the middle of the country, which is smart because those are states that usually that side tends to vote for. So
if Ohio gets football brought back in, and it's because Donald Trump picked up the phone with the election just a couple of months away, for those of you that think I'm turning this into a political statement, no, it's a fact. The president picked up the phone, called the Big Ten president, and said, get back on the field, basically. And so he didn't pick up the phone and call Larry Scott.
Gee, I wonder why. I'll give you three reasons. Oregon, Washington, and California. That's a start.
But if it was just Arizona State and Arizona, he would have picked up the phone and called.
Utah, maybe. Yeah, right.
Maybe, yeah. Colorado?
Probably not. But put them in the previous group. But, you know, the Pac-12 has just been kind of radio silent. They're just sort of hanging out, you know, doing whatever they're doing. I mean, the Big Ten has players and parents and lawsuits, and now President Trump speaking out, and the other three Power Fives are getting ready to play games in 11 days. So,
but is it really a shit show that's going on when Trump gets involved like this, or is it, you know, you respect the president trying to get football back on the field? Have we seen that, you know, so far there have not been the mass outbreaks that people thought that there would be, at least in football games? We have only had one weekend of college, but we've had 3 weekends of high school. For those that are on this squarely on the high school is shown no problems. Well, the school districts don't have to report how many positive tests there are. That's a real problem for teachers who don't know if the kids in their classroom are positive or not. That's a real problem. So, Daddy Baller, if you want your kid on the field and you're just going off of what's going on in Utah, think again.
And it's sort of, yeah, like you said, it's going to be a delayed thing. I mean, we're going to hear about these positive tests from last week's games probably 2 or 3 weeks from now. And when we're looking at a school like Texas Tech, though, Brad, they're in the Big 12, okay? They're supposed to be playing games in a week and a half, and they had like 50 cases. So we saw Notre Dame. We saw what's happening in North Carolina.
Florida State.
It's going to be a bumpy road. It's just, how are these conferences going to navigate their way through the bumpy road? And like Rock Hewer told you last week, if the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC can get to a championship game, and if the Big 10 and Pac-12 don't play, not a good look for those two conferences. Well, not a good look.
Define what's not a good look. Does it mean when the new television contract comes up next year, the networks are going to say, you know what, we don't want Washington and Oregon and Stanford and UCLA and USC? No. I mean, I look at it and say different parts of the country are going through the pandemic differently. Somebody has asked me yesterday, how is it that the state of New York had so many deaths and other parts of the country did not? So for those who just only care about football, only football, not about kids and mental health going through all this, or teachers standing up in front of kids that they don't know, whether it's college or high school, they don't know if they're infected or not. If it's just on football, yes, it's a bad look for just on football. But we won't know for a year, 5 years about mitochondria. The people that say, oh, that heart stuff's just a, okay, you found a survey that says it's not that big of a deal. Let's get back to each other in 10 years and see what exactly happened. You know, I'm not one that sits here and says it has to be football at all costs, but the plain politics today in the Big Ten, to me, is the president weighing in. I'm fine with that. Weigh in all you want, but that doesn't mean Kevin Warren has to say, wow, man, the president called. He thinks we should be getting back on the field. And hey, Ohio State, hey, Nebraska, drop your lawsuits. Quit acting like spoiled little children that didn't get their way in the sandbox. That's what's going on in Nebraska. I don't think that this makes a move today, but I think it could make a move. I do. It's purely a political play on his part. It's not like he just woke up and said, boy, I wish there was football on. No, it's, hey, you might do better in Illinois. You might do better in Ohio. You might do better in Michigan, in Wisconsin, if you're the guy that saved football.
But it's not President Trump's decision. It's the decision of the athletic directors and the presidents, and maybe some of those aren't Trump fans. So, like,
right now,
if you really want to peel the onion back and make this political,
that's what he's
doing. What if half of the Big Ten ADs and presidents are Democrats and the other half are Republicans and they need a majority vote to play? That's not going to fly.
But if you're sitting there in Wisconsin, and that's a state that he looks at and says, I've got to flip that state. Or in Michigan, or there's in Minnesota, where I can make groundwork off of playing to the heartstrings of those college football fans because they are Looney Tunes. They are. Then, okay, from a strategy standpoint, I get it. Are there bigger pressing matters in the country rather than picking up the phone, calling the commissioner of the Big Ten and say, hey, you know, we really should have games back out on the field? Are there bigger issues? And yeah, here in sports, people want us to say, oh yeah, you know, get him back on the field at all costs. Well, I'm just looking at this saying, does Kevin Warren, does this make a budge or not? It's a statement that they put out on Trump calling Kevin Warren today. And he didn't call Larry Scott. And I think the Pac-12 is further off the grid. And maybe I respect that a little bit more than I'm even willing to admit. That, you know what, this is our stance, tough. Don't like it, transfer. Fine, knock yourselves out. But will it bite them in the butt when it comes time for TV contract renegotiation? Will it hurt them in recruiting? Who knows? Who knows?
I'm not sure. And I just think, Brad, that the people that don't like Trump disdain Trump. And I don't even think college football could sway someone's opinion if they've already got their mindset that, you know what, we don't want to vote for Trump again. Even in the diehard, Big Ten Midwest states, I just think Trump's popularity or lack thereof is beyond college football.
But Ohio State in Ohio, if Gene Smith says we want to thank President Trump for getting involved, I mean you're right, you are right, okay. But if coaches and parents are able to say, hallelujah, thank you, President Trump, for showing up, and what a difference this makes for all the fearmongers out there and all that stuff, because that's the other side that's being played here. When there's 100,000 fans watching Michigan, Ohio State in November, although the election will be over with, that's a bad example, of a game around third week of October, end of October, right before the election, hundreds of thousands of people jammed in stadiums.
Yeah, like maybe like a Penn State Michigan night game that has mass appeal, and those games can be played in the middle of the season.
So. Right, and without President Trump intervening, that's how it'll be spun. I know that this is something that's uncomfortable, but I think today was a day that you look at and say, why not the Pac-12? He doesn't need these states. He's not going to get these states. And so he's focusing his attention on his process to get reelected through college athletics.
Maybe.
That's how important it is.
Yeah, that could be a play that's happening right now. So
one other thing before we get out of here today. James Harden. So the Rockets are in a game 7 tomorrow, and Oklahoma City is sitting over there not nearly as talented, in my opinion, but we're in a game 7 nonetheless. And James Harden has yet to win a big series. And James Harden gets more touches and more shots than anybody in the NBA, from my view. He's green light James. Comes down, launches from wherever. Mike D'Antoni does not have a contract. He's going to be a free agent. Mike has put everything into James Harden. And tomorrow night, yep, they have a game 7. And if they get eliminated, yep, where is James Harden's... James Harden has a lot of pressure on him tomorrow night to deliver, because he has yet to deliver. People here love him. Great Sun Devil. Puts up big numbers. Has done nothing when it comes to getting all the way to the finals. Has never done it. So here he is. If you want to make him an MVP candidate tomorrow night, he's clearly has everything on the line on him. And it's fascinating to me, because for the ASU fan, it's he can do no wrong. Well, I don't know, if he's supposed to be the greatest, then show me. Show me, that's all.
And I wonder what's going to happen with Coach Mike. I mean, D'Antoni could it be a Nate McMillan situation where it's like, you were a really good regular season coach, but that's unfair, because D'Antoni has got them further than McMillan did with the Pacers first round. But the Rockets had way more talent than the Pacers did.
Well, and also... Let's not forget, Indiana thought enough of Nate McMillan in early August to sign him to an extension. And then 2 weeks later, they fired him. So, like, what are we doing here, guys? You have an extension, then you blow him out because he didn't go as far as you wanted him to go. But, no, I think Mike D'Antoni, what we saw with him with the Suns, is similar to what we saw with him in the Knicks, is similar to what we saw with him in the Rockets. He's going to put out a style of basketball that is flash and dance and really exciting. And you can blame referees in the Spurs series. I get that. There's Suns fans out there that will always go down that path.
I remember facts that 45 years ago, right?
Right. But the facts are, he's never gotten it done on the highest level with that style of basketball. and just handing the ball to James Harden and saying, let's get out of the way and let's, you know, that there's a lot of it's really interesting to me because I don't think the Rockets can beat either the Lakers or the Clippers in the next round. The Lakers and Clippers are shaping up to be the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And what happened last night with Miami, Miami showed that Giannis, you know, so the playoffs are very interesting right now. And I'm just more looking at James Harden, like Denver, Utah. Who had Denver, Utah in a game seven? And Jamal Murray putting up 50. And those series are fascinating to me right now. And but really,
but that's why I still think it's bad news for the Suns.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just because you've got, I mean, how good are these first round? Some of these first round series. I mean, you've got Denver and Utah, the two teams that the Suns are maybe within reach of getting, and they're going to a game seven. So they're playing high level basketball in the first round.
Yeah. No.
Then the Suns are like down here.
Would the Suns have put up a
like right here?
Would the Suns have put up a bigger fight than Portland on the Lakers? I don't think so.
Probably about the same. They might have won a game.
Yeah, and with Damian leaving, it'd be like Devin leaving. So all right. We're done here for the day. We've done our thing. Good seeing you. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later. It's Eric
Sorensen. Sounds
good. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. As always, he's the Iron Man getting it done day in and day out. We head over to the website now to work on content. It's sports360az.com. Our TV show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Herm Edwards, long segment with Herm. The AZ Audibles crew, Eric and Devin and Sandy tonight. Going to have a roundtable, mix it up about parents, coaches, players, responsibilities for the coming season, if it happens. Jordan will have the recruiting roundup, and you'll hear from Kyler Murray, too. That's all on Fox Sports Arizona. That is tonight. Have a great day.